Okay, we have oceans of music here, just oceans. Just picked up Paco Buchanan, oceans of music to relax in. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Thank you so much, Ron, for today's NTI. And also Jay, who was on earlier. And yes, we can easily tear out the page rather than see my brother as anything other than the Christ. Maybe I should also change the settings on mine. Can you hear me okay before we get started? I could make it louder. Okay, that should be a little bit better. I just have to remember to go back to stereo mix as you do, Ryan. Yes, much better, much better. And thank you so much, Melinda. Melinda, who does the workbook lesson in the mornings here at 8 o'clock and then does Sunday school at 8:30 from John Mundy's Living A Course in Miracles. It was wonderful reading, and she's going to be our reader this morning, and I'm really inspired by the reading. It just happens to be perfect. I'll speak a little about that in a little while. Yes, it has been a week, and she's going to be reading from NTI Revelations chapter 2. And this has been a week of revelations for sure. We all have revelations, and I'm having them faster and faster here. And we'll be maybe looking at all of them this morning, but first I want to welcome everybody here officially as Awakening Together Sunday morning service gets started here, as we usually do at 10:15 Eastern Time. And this week I'll be on. And I see Julie Gillespie in the room, and I just want to quickly say that we're very happy that Julie Gillespie is going to be our Reverend Minister. She is Reverend Julie Gillespie for sure, ordained minister. And she's going to be on next Sunday morning at this hour. And a few of us will be traveling to Colorado. Some of us are already in Colorado for a weekend meeting, which I'm looking forward to, in Cannon City, Colorado, just a little distance from Colorado Springs. I see Regina. Welcome, Regina. So we're welcoming everybody to this Sunday morning Awakening Together service. And I'm very happy to see everybody that is here. And if you're listening in on the radio, and we have invited a lot of people to listen in on Awakening Together Radio. And we do have a couple of announcements, which I'm going to make very shortly. But this is also a time for meeting and greeting. So glad you're still coming. But we never know anything until we don't really know until we're really right here, right now. And we'll see how that goes. Actually, this has been a week of, I learned not to look ahead. Because you can certainly turn looking ahead into listening to the voice of, not your best friend's voice, basically voice that says, well, why don't you plan ahead and see what's going to happen? And then I went from a hissy fit to a pissy fit. And we'll know a little bit more about that as I share this morning. This is the time we call meet and greet, which is if we were right here all together physically, we would probably just turn to the person next to us and thank and we turn to the person next to us and we would give them a big hug and we tell them how wonderful we feel and ask them who they are. And this is pretty much what we're going to be doing this morning. And probably I'm going to also mention that it's also a time for actually blessing people. You know, there's a part of the Course in Chapter 7, Section 7, that actually says the only way you can bless yourself is to bless another. And it said there are no exceptions to this. So if you're not blessing your brother, you're actually cursing yourself. And that's pretty much what it really gets down to. The word curse is not actually used in, say, in A Course in Miracles. But you're either blessing or what is the opposite of a blessing? You know, you're either blessing or you're withholding. You're withholding. You're denying blessing. And if whatever you deny your brother, you are denying yourself. So when we use this morning, not only to say, hey, this is, and you can, you know, see somebody, maybe you either haven't really met really officially before and just pick them out, and I know you don't know all of their names, but like, for instance, Gemini here from Belgium, his real name is Patrick, so you could write that down as he is Patrick, and certainly Art Lady, you might know her name, is Sharon. And Open Flower is Beth, and on and on and on. Koji is Koji from Japan. Thank you so much, Koji, where you are. I know it's about 10 o'clock at night. Thank you so much for joining us. So when you send your blessings, your greetings across the room, you know, include a blessing, and we're going to put a little music on. Now, I'm going to turn this over to you right now, Ron, with the idea that maybe your music is working. If it's not, it's perfect, because I have Taco Bell's ocean of peaceful music coming. Okay, over to you, Ron, and then use this time for meeting and greeting. Thank you. Okay, thank you all for what I know came all your heartfelt wishes and greetings as we include each other equally, and that's pretty much what I see here at Awakening Together is the inclusion of all equally, that seeing each and every one as all coming from one source, one mind. We share the same mind, the same source. We have access to the same wisdom. We are all literally self-reliant. We have access to the one truth, the one self, and we are all one with our one self. And if you look up in the banner, it does say we gather here to develop trust in our one self, and that's pretty much where we are in our everyday life and in our progress in our own journey, is the development of trust in the truth, to begin to remember the truth rather than get stuck in the falsity. And I'm just going to go over the purpose again of what is Awakening Together. It is an online universal assembly of peers dedicated to recognizing and embracing universal wisdom, regardless of the form in which it appears. We are also dedicated to recognizing the ways that we deny universal wisdom by adopting personal beliefs and biases. We want to recognize these limitations so we can free ourselves from them and open to the continuous flow of universal wisdom. Okay, that is, of course, our purpose, and you always find that. Today, our admin is Jay McCormick, right here in the room, and Jay could put up that link if he wants, which is our purpose and our values. Okay, maybe he did it right, I'm not sure. But just in case, we can put it up again. I happen to have it right here. And this is the link. Maybe it's duplicated already, I'm not sure. But that is the link. You can take a look at what our purpose is and what our values are. And we usually talk about one of the values, and the one that always speaks to me is the one, excuse me, we trust everyone is led by a unique inner guidance to one experience called awakening, which is the realization of one true self. We live this value by supporting one another on different paths of awakening, and that's for sure that we all have our own different paths. That certainly doesn't mean that we're different in any way. We just have already consented to a journey that is specific to the lessons that we have come here to learn. As it says in A Course in Miracles, there's a different form there's a different form of this curriculum for every teacher of God. So in a way, we're all teachers. We're always teaching all the time. And what we teach, of course, we're always teaching who we are, what we are, but where we get our path, our journey, really is part of the guidance that's given to us. Each of us will find the perfect path, the perfect curriculum for us, and there is no such thing as the perfect thing for everyone is always the perfect thing for myself. And yes, I can share about my path, but my path is my path, certainly, and your path is your path. But we're all really awakening together, and that is the truth. Okay, a couple of announcements. I don't even have a glass of water here. I was thinking I should have got a glass of water first, but that's probably part of the announcement. First of all, the most important official announcement I have right now is the announcement that as of now, as of a few days ago, this room basically is really Awakening Together's room. I have officially given up any running of the room. I know it was supposed to take place on January 1 or at the end of this year, and guidance said to me, this is a good time to do it. There's no reason for you to get stuck in a schedule of time. Time is the illusion, of course. And it was just the right time for me to say, called up Regina and said, Regina, this is time, and I'm just letting it go. Letting it go means I'm letting it go. Holding on to nothing, and it feels really good. I want you to know it feels really good. Yes, I do realize that, you know, I was thinking, well, you know, full 10 years would mean right up to December 31, and what difference does all of that make? I really had the experience of this wonderful community. It's really a family that has literally come together, And I do know that the Holy Spirit sent everybody here. I just know that. The other things that came up, of course, one of the things that led me to this is something that I had kind of sensed was going to happen is I went for some CAT scans and tests about a week or so ago and seeing what they were going to do. I was kind of waiting to get a date for a biopsy, which at first they said, well, the biopsy may not take place until October. I said, October? What are you, crazy? But I went to visit the doctor who was really in charge of this process, Dr. Owens, and he did an oral exam, looked at the CAT scan results, and then he says, okay, are you ready for my thoughts? I said, yes. And he said, well, you have cancer. And the funny thing is, I when I heard it, I totally accepted it. Literally, there was nothing that he said that I, you know, was like, whether I expected it or not, I just totally accepted it. I was fine. I was very peaceful with it. He says, we can talk about the options for treatment. And I said, okay, let's talk about the options for treatment. And he kind of enumerated them. And actually, the word options is really a misnomer. It's not really an option. It either is or you don't. And he said, but, you know, you do have stage 4A, and A is good because it is curable. And he basically... if I had stopped there, I would be in the same peaceful place I am right now. And then my inquisitive mind said, well, what about the side effects? And I was going to kind of wait until Melinda truly reads NTI Revelations chapter 2 to talk about this, because maybe I will. But it's exactly what it says. You know, you have this voice that's speaking to you, but you don't have to really listen to it, you know, unless you want to. So maybe I'll tell the rest of the story after I turn this mic over to Melinda for today's NTI Revelations chapter 2. And how this came to me is I was really very clear that when I knew I was going to be teaching this Sunday, be a minister this Sunday, I was going to speak on something that occurred as seen in the clarification of terms in C3, where it says God cannot be seen, God is not seen, only understood. And I find that an amazing, you know, he's understood, he's not seen. And I wanted to have something to do with that, and I was going to pick up Course in Miracles and take a look, and I said, no, I'm going to pick up NTI. I just opened up NTI and opened up towards the back of the book, which normally doesn't happen, and there was NTI Revelations 2. I took one look at the first couple of lines and said, this is perfect. And I said to Melinda, this is what we're going to read. Thank you so much, Melinda, for reading it. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
And thank you, Dove. Thank you. NTI Revelation Chapter 2. I know who you are, and you know who you are also. This is why you do the work that I ask, because you know, and so you want to have the experience of who you are. To not have the experience, when you know the experience is your truth, is unhappiness. You shall not rest with unhappiness when you know happiness is your right. Within you, there is a voice. It seems to be an evil voice that speaks of hatred and viciousness and attack. But this voice is not evil, nor is it to be hated or feared. For to judge it as evil or to hate it or fear it is to listen to it. And to listen to it is confusion, for it is the voice of confusion. Here is how you are to see the voice that seems vicious. This voice seeks for your happiness, but it has become confused by a goal. It believes that your happiness lies in aloneness and control, when aloneness and control can only bring you misery. Do not hate the voice that is confused. Simply do not follow it. It leads to confusion, and you are ready to follow the voice of clarity now. To him who has an ear, let him hear. It is by overcoming the voice of confusion that one knows only the voice of light, and it is the voice of light that leads you to the tree of life, which is the paradise of God. Do not be afraid to hear the voice of confusion. To fear it is to believe it is truth. Hear the voice, but do not listen to it. That means recognize its confusion and do not walk in the way that it asks. Have faith in me over what it says. Trust in your truth, and you will know true happiness. He who has an ear, let him hear. Life cannot die because life is the extension of life. Only the belief in death can bring you sorrow. Let that belief die by not protecting yourself against it, and you cannot be hurt by belief in that which cannot be. I want to look deep within you with you at the beliefs that you fear most. They are the ones you hide by denying them, but you deny them because you think they are true. If you knew they were false, you would let them go. I want to look at them with you so you may lean on my strength and see that they are false. You may feel your fear and let it go with a giggle because the light of your own heart shines brighter than darkness caused by confusion. When darkness is looked at beside the light, it is the darkness that must fade away. He who has an ear, let him hear. You may choose trust or you may choose fear. One is light and the other is darkness. So one will bring you joy and the other will lead to suffering. Look carefully upon the choice that is offered you and choose wisely with your heart. You know which choice to make. It is not a mystery because you do know what you are. Choose with the heart and then hold to your choice as a white stone that is precious because your true name is written upon it and known as truth by you. Trust me. The fear that you know seems real because the guilt seems real also. Fear may be let go, but as it is, the guilt shall rise to greet you. When you see it, you will wish again for the fear, for the fear protected you from having to look at the guilt. The guilt comes with great pain and the strong feeling of sacrifice. Hold to me as we look at the guilt. It is not real, although it has been believed. We must look at it and release it together. If we do not do this, the belief in guilt remains. If the feeling of guilt is kept, you cannot know the peace of knowing yourself as you are because you have chosen to know yourself as you are not. There is nothing to fear. By trusting me to the end through all that we seem to experience, you will learn this is true, and you shall rejoice unto heaven. The pieces shall be picked up, and the desire to rule shall be laid down, because you shall know the freedom that is your truth, and you shall not seek to know freedom as if it is less than all that it is. The clarity that comes when the guilt has been released is the freedom and clarity of the morning star. Seek only for this freedom, and let no fear stand in your way. He who has an ear, let him rejoice. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Melinda. And, you know, when I said here earlier that everyone here, and I'm not only talking about here in this room this second, but everyone who's ever come here really to gather, I know has been sent by the Holy Spirit. Certainly this is a place that I have found is actually run by the voice for God, the voice for clarity. It has been a place to develop trust. And as we were listening to Melinda, he's actually speaking about trusting in him because you want to trust in yourself. And of course, if you look at the top of this room, at the banner, we have been gathering here for many years to develop trust in our oneself, in the love of God. I am sustained by the love of God. I opened up a teacher's manual this morning that was the original teacher's manual they issued, separate books back in those days in 1977, and I wrote in huge yellow print on the inside of the cover, God loves you as he loves himself. And of course that is a total statement. God, who is love, loves himself, loves all of himself. We are as God created. And I guess one of the things that came up for me in listening, and also what happened for me this past week, is a line. I see Suzanne de Keyser here in the room. Thank you so much for being here. As she sent me this article, in my defenselessness, my safety lies. And basically, all the words and thoughts that come from this voice of confusion, and you note that that's the word, that's the term that NTI, the Holy Spirit, uses in Revelations chapter 2. He's using the term, the voice of confusion. I took a look at the word confusion this morning, and the word con, which of course is the word meaning against, you know, something is contradicting, it's against, and the word is fusion, the word fusion is fusion. Fusion is the oneness, that we are fused as one for sure, and that is the truth, that is the eternal truth. There is only one, and that is a fusion. The idea of the voice of confusion is the voice against oneness, literally, is the voice of two-ness. And of course, like it says in NTI, Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, it's impossible to serve two different masters. So, while I'm listening to this voice, I'm coming from uncertainty, self-doubt, fear, not knowing who I am, but actually thinking that I can actually defend myself and plan for myself and do for myself. And of course, none of that is true. So, continuing on the story I was telling you, I said it might have a little bit more meaning after the reading from NTI. So the doctor says to me, well, you know, this is what you have, and we have these options. And if I left it at that and said, okay, you know, I accept. But of course, Dove being the inquiring mind, I said, well, what are the side effects? And as you start going into the side effects, I noticed that I was starting to get very dizzy, lightheaded, and I get into a cold sweat, and I actually said to him, I think I could even pass out here. And he said, well, that's okay. And I did. I woke up about a minute or two later with two doctors standing over me, one smiling, laughing, says, are you okay? He gave me some water, and everything was okay. And I really was okay, and I took a look at that. And in lieu of looking, and I did also notice my pants were wet too, I took a look at what happened in lieu of what Melinda just read from NTI Revelations chapter 2, and what came up for me is that, you know, acceptance is acceptance, and as long and if I feel that I have to also bring control, I have to know ahead of time, and that has always been something that Dev has always kind of wanted to know. I remember the last time I ever went into surgery, which I was about 6-7 years old and had my tonsils out. I kept asking the same question: is this going to hurt? No one ever answered the question, but you know, the smart pants that I am, I noticed that there was two people scheduled to go in to have their tonsils out that particular morning. There was this girl who was right next to me and me, and she went first. I said, "Aha! If I hear her, if I hear her crying, I'm going to know that this hurts." And of course, in my mind, I can jump off this gurney I'm on and just run the hell out of the hospital. So I heard this very short whimper, and then I didn't hear anything else after that. I said, "Oh, it probably doesn't hurt." Well, I got to tell you, the last time I went in for anything in an operating room was at that time. It was the most traumatic experience I ever had in my life. They gave me ether. Of course, they don't give ether anymore, thank God. And that was a real traumatic experience. Of course, the traumatic experience is that you are losing control. That's the traumatic experience. So the same thing happened this time. I said, "Well, tell me about the side effects." And that's the ego saying, "Okay, now I'll show you what you're in for." As long as you go into the future, as long as you say, "Well, you know, let me kind of plan against this. Maybe, you know, I can say what I want and what I don't want." And that's really not acceptance. That is really not acceptance. Acceptance is acceptance. What could you not accept if you but knew that everything that seems to happen, everything, is gently planned for you by one whose only purpose is your good? So, you know, the ego can never accept. It's always into its doing its own thing. And we talk about the hissy fits that the ego goes into, you know, when it wants to get vicious. That was really a hissy fit turned into, excuse the expression, a pissy fit. Okay. This also came across Facebook this morning. It says, this is by Carl Jung, who basically said this over 100 years ago. He said the exact same thing as is in NTI Revelations 2. "Your visions will become clear only when you can look into your own heart. Who looks outside dreams? Who looks inside awakes?" So you might say that what we're really here for is to really develop trust. Trust in knowing that you are totally safe. The word safe is safe. In my defenselessness, my safety lies. But if I'm listening to the voice that says, "What do you mean by safe? If you're not listening to me and listen and do as I tell you what is good and what is not good, what is right, you know, you're going to be in a real mess of trouble, and hey, it may even be painful." So it's just the anticipation, the anxiety, the strategizing, the things that you think you have to plan ahead to kind of reduce your exposure to pain and suffering that actually is the pain and suffering. I'm kind of led to look at trust, which is in the teacher's manual under the characteristics of God's teachers. And there's one line there that always has kind of been fascinating to me, and I'm going to read it, and maybe it's something that has been there for you too. And this is what it says. It says, "He thought he learned what willingness is, but now he sees that he does not know what willingness is for. And now he must attain a state that may remain impossible," this is Jesus using the word impossible, "to reach for a long, long time. He must learn to lay all judgments aside and ask only what he really wants in every circumstance. Were not each step in this direction so heavily reinforced, it would be hard indeed. And you know, that's in the fifth of the six steps of trust. And for those people who are familiar with Nuke's book, Take Me to Truth, it's all about the six steps of trust. That basically, you get up to the fifth step, and he's telling you that, hey, you've come this far, but the rest of the journey may take a very long, long, long time. And it's occurred to me this past week in looking at both the NTI Revelations chapter 2, what it is that I'm going through in my own experience here, and of course I know that everything I go through is part of the journey that I have asked to go through, that none of this is happening, quote, by accident, that this is all part of my journey, the experience that I have, and you know, I was speaking to Regina and she mentioned that Cheryl Valentine went through the exact same two forms of therapy that I'll be going through, which is radiation and chemo. She went through it and she came out the other side. And as Regina said, I've never seen Cheryl so happy ever. And she said, I've known Cheryl for a very long time, and we all know Cheryl, and that is true. She is in a very peaceful place. So we never really know what anything is for. But it has occurred to me that this idea of we don't know what willingness is for, and it's come to me that the willingness is to develop total trust, like 100% trust. Janine Jans, one of the teachers here, says that trust is an acronym for to rely upon spirit totally. If I'm relying upon spirit totally, I don't need to know what the side effects are. I actually went through something which is almost worth speaking about here. When I took the CAT scan, with what they call contrast. And contrast means they give you something that's going to put some color into the CAT scan. And then they give you what the side effects are, and you have to read because you have to sign that you're aware of. And if you read the side effects of the CAT scan, my God, you would get sick, literally sick. And the funny thing is, you know, it says you're going to get a metallic taste, you get warm all over, you can get dizzy, you get this, you get that. And he puts me in, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm waiting for all this to happen. None of that happened. He says, okay, we're done. I started laughing. I literally started laughing. He says, you're laughing. I said, yeah. Nothing that I thought was going to happen really happened. It's all in the mind. So if you're listening to the voice of confusion, you're always thinking about what's going to happen. Trust is not getting into the voice of confusion. Oh yes, it'll speak to you, but you certainly don't have to follow it. You certainly don't have to listen to it. And it's not something to be feared, not something to be hated, exactly as it says in the reading that Melinda just did. It's just something that we made up as kind of our guide here, to kind of keep us, excuse the expression, safe in a world that it made for us to keep us in fear. I'm going to tell a story that also happened just yesterday. Yesterday was the Day of Atonement. For most people who know the holiest day in the Jewish year is the Day of Atonement. We do know the word atonement really probably does come from the same idea. We do know that Jesus, being Jewish, he did take the holiest day of the Jewish calendar and he made it, says, just your accepting of the atonement. And the atonement is really like total forgiveness. The atonement is that none of this really happened. And the atonement is that there's nothing to fear. There's absolutely nothing, that you are already home. You're ready. The kingdom is already restored to you. You never really left. But it does take total forgiveness. Now, in a world that looks like this, you say, well, how the hell does that happen? There was a story told yesterday. When I heard it, and some of you are familiar with the story, Galatians familiar with the characters. I'm taking the story from the Old Testament, the story of Joseph and his brothers. But when I heard the complete story, I almost cried because it was the Course of Miracles in a very short story. Let me share it here. Most people are familiar that Joseph, who was unliked by his 11 brothers, or at least 10 of the 11 brothers, because he was his father's favorite, got sick and tired of listening to him and his talking, and said, "Let's get rid of him." They threw him into a pit, and they knew that that wasn't going to be sufficient because their father Jacob would certainly find him. And said, "We got to get him out of here, out of this land." And they saw a caravan coming on the way, carrying slaves going to Egypt, and said, "Let's sell him to this caravan, get him completely out of here." And you know the rest of the story. He was sold into slavery. He was accused falsely or whatever, and of behavior unbecoming a slave, and was put into prison to serve a 12-year jail sentence. And nobody visited him, no one knew him, and he was just the way he is. But he did have a gift called the gift of vision, the gift of seeing dreams and being able to interpret. And it came upon the Pharaoh, who, of course, was a ruler of Egypt, a dream in which it really wanted the interpretation of the dream because it meant something. You know, he knew it was significant to him. And all of his wise men were called, and no one could interpret the dream. And somebody remembered this prisoner, Joseph, and they brought him before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh says, "Yes, what is the interpretation?" And of course, you know, he did interpret correctly. The 7 years of feasts and the land would produce, and then 7 years of scarcity where would be barren and nothing would be produced. So they had to save the food from the 7 years of feasts for the 7 years of scarcity. And when Pharaoh heard this, he knew that somehow this man Joseph, whether he was a slave or a prisoner, didn't really matter, that he really had the voice of God, the voice of clarity. And he says, "Listen, I want you to be the ruler all over Egypt. You'll be second to none except to me." So 10 years had gone by. We're 22 years away from the time that the brothers sold them into slavery. And throughout the world, there was a famine, and people had to come to Egypt, which was the only place to get food. So the 11 brothers said to their father, "We'll go down to Egypt and buy food for our family so we can survive." They arrive in Egypt, and Joseph sees his 11 brothers 22 years later. He recognizes them. They certainly don't recognize him in all of his regal form and maybe whatever. And he says, "I want those 11 people brought to me, and then I want the rest, all my guards, to leave the room." And the 11 brothers are called before him. And he says, "Do you know who I am? Don't you know who I am?" And they look at him, "Who are you?" "I'm your brother, Joseph." At that time, the 11 brothers all of a sudden went into fear. And they backed away. Oh my God. The same brother that we thought was dead, killed, thrown into slavery, he's now like the ruler of Egypt. He's going to kill us for what we did. You can see the guilt. You see the fear, the guilt that comes up. And he says, "Oh no, brothers. Come to me. Come towards me. You didn't do anything wrong. What you did was perfect. You were just the messengers of God. That's how I got here. That's how I'm here with you now. You know, and it was meant to be, Beshert. It was meant to be that I am here. You did exactly what it is that you were supposed to do. There is no guilt. And for me, That is true perception. That is true perception. To see that everything is happening perfectly always. Oh yes, the voice of confusion immediately will go into fear and guilt and say, oh my God, and go back into history and say, but I did this and now he's going to get back and he's going to attack me. No, it's really recognition. I'm your brother. We are brothers. I see you. I see you. Okay. A little choked up over there. Yes, Beshert is, it's meant to be. It's exactly the what it's meant to be. The idea of true perception is that everything is really happening perfectly. That everything that happens is happening perfectly. So when it says you cannot see God, you can only understand God. You know, yes, you'll see God in the sea of synchronicity that we live in. You see how everything is happening perfectly, that nothing is happening that's out of order. It's all happening in divine order, divine design. There's only one plan here. This is God's plan for salvation. It is not our plan. We're all here as messengers. Everyone is always doing the perfect thing at the perfect time. There's never such a thing as something is done wrong, ever, ever, ever. But the voice for confusion will tell you about, you better be afraid because this is what you did. And if you want to listen to that voice, then you will live in fear. And it's going to take you a very long, long time to develop trust to know that you are not the doer. Everything is being done through us. We are the messenger, yes. We're not the doer. And that everything that is said, everything that is said, everything that is done is happening perfectly. There is only one divine plan, one divine design. You know, in the 50 miracle principles, or the 53 if you want to use the Earth text, is fine. As John Mundy pointed out to me in my very first session leading A Course in Miracles in 1980, of the 50 miracle principles, the only one that we are responsible for is number 7. The other 49 or 52 happen naturally. There's nothing that you can do for it. But number 7 we are responsible for. And it says, miracles are everyone's right, but purification is necessary first. Purification. The purification is the weeding out of the misperceptions that we carry with us about what I did, like those 11 brothers selling their brother into slavery and told their father that he was killed by wild beasts to cover up the lie. And then being confronted with the mightiest person in Egypt and says, I am your brother, and went into immediate fear of retaliation. I said, oh, no. Come to me. Let me hug you. Let me love you. You didn't do anything wrong. What you did was perfect. How else could I have come here? How else could I be here? How else could we actually be here together? So reading that last part, verse 26 of NTI Revelation 2, there is nothing to fear. By trusting me with a capital M, to the end through all that we seem to experience, you will learn that this is true and you shall rejoice unto heaven. Yeah. When it says that the purpose of this course is peace. The goal of this course is peace. And peace and trust are really the same. When you totally trust, you are in peace. You know that you are safe. There's another place, my good friend Val Scott called me to tell me that chapter 17, section 2, which is the forgiveness of the world, it says, yes, that is also the goal of this world, to forgive this world for what it did not do that we project onto it. And the forgiveness of this world is literally to let go of all the stories and know that all the stories are exactly like that story of Joseph and his brothers. There's no difference. That everything is happening perfectly, even though the voice of confusion would say, oh, you call that perfect? And you can listen, you look at the voice, and exactly as Belinda was reading, you can look at it, but you don't have to follow it. It really doesn't mean anything. It's insignificant. It is the voice of resistance. We are the voice of acceptance. We are the voice for God. We accept the atonement for ourselves. That nothing that we ever thought happened, that we turn into a story, has any meaning except the meaning that I have given to it. It doesn't really mean anything. Okay, that's it. I want to thank everyone for being here, for listening, for joining in, and I hope there was a message there for you that has something that maybe brought something up for you, that this is kind of a place where we're going to be first doing some contemplation and some music. Maybe listening to what you heard in a way where you want to share what happened for you, that maybe you want to share with all of our brothers and sisters, maybe as something that came to you that you want to share. So right now, Ron, I'm not sure if you want to pick up the mic for this. I'll be glad to do this. Okay, Ron has his hand up. And also, I think that this is a time, if Jay, if you're here, to put up, that this is a time for contemplation, and we're going to ask if you would, if you feel so guided to actually contribute to the Awakening Together organization, which is an assembly of equals, and if you feel moved in any way to do that, please. I think, Jay just did put it up. Please donate. That's the link. So right now, I'm turning this mic over to you, Ron. Thank you so much. Okay. Thank you so much, Ron. That was truly beautiful, perfect music. Thank you for the perfection of that music. And yes, it is really always perfect. You know, I said that what inspired me this Sunday was the one sentence that God is not seen, only understood. And I just want to speak on that again. You know, the idea of trust is to know that everything is given to you, that everything, whenever you are given something to do by the Holy Spirit, He always gives you everything that you need, everything that you will ever need to heal, to remember the truth of what you are. Everything that you need is always given to you. There's nothing that will ever be needed that is not given to you. That, for me, is a certainty. That is a certainty. So when it says God is not seen, only understood, that is to know that you are always with God. God is always with you. There's never a time that is not true. There's never a time. Understood that's what love is. That love is that you are never alone. You are always one with your Father. That is always the truth. In your contemplation this morning, is there anything you would like to share? We have another 20 minutes or so for sharing. So anything that you heard or anything that came up for you, anything that rises up that maybe you would like to share with all of our brothers and sisters, that is really the purpose of Awakening Together, is to begin to recognize that we all have the same voice for God, the voice for love, the voice of clarity. And sometimes, as soon as you see something a little bit different, the voice, the great transformer, the voice that transforms the old story into something new and peaceful, is there for you. So if you heard anything at all that basically you would like to share, please let's use this time to do that. I'm going to just open up the mic, Regina Dornay, because this mic is all yours.
Thank you, Dove. A couple things came up for me while you were speaking. The first thing came up when you were talking about the fear of pain regarding your procedure, and you were going to listen for the one who was having, I think it was her tonsils taken out, and if you heard her scream, you said you could, you know, just get up and run. Get up and run right then. You know, I've been to Israel a few times now, and each time I've been to Israel, I've had the pleasure of visiting the Garden of Gethsemane. And each time I go to the Garden of Gethsemane, while I'm contemplating there, there's the same thing that keeps coming up for me, and that is how easy it would have been for Jesus to run. You know, when you're there at the physical location of the Garden of Gethsemane and, you know, you look in one direction and you see the city of Jerusalem and you look in the other direction and you know that in Jesus' time that was nothing but a way into the wilderness. And, you know, you'll remember that he left most of the apostles further away. He only brought Peter, John, and James, you know, to the entry of the garden with him. But then even them he left at the entry and he went into the garden alone. And if we go by the way the story is told in the Bible, you know, it says that Jesus was scared. Jesus was really, really scared about everything that he could sense was about to happen. Just like you sensed that your cancer was happening, I'm sure that he sensed everything that was about to happen. And it says that he was very, very scared. And the truth is, Jesus could have ran. I mean, it was night. You know, there was nobody with him. You know, as he looked at this, he could have just ran. But from what we know, at least based on the Bible story, he chose not to run. He surrendered. He said, "Your will and not mine." And he surrendered, and he chose to move into acceptance, full acceptance. And in fact, if you go by the Bible story, from that point forward, there was no resistance at all in Jesus. You know, as he was arrested, there was no resistance. As he was questioned by the Sanhedrin, there was no resistance. You know, as he was questioned by Pontius Pilate and possibly based on one of the versions of the story, also Herod, there was no resistance. as he was beat and led to the crucifixion, there was no resistance. You know, he was in acceptance from that point forward. And so what I heard in your story, actually, was that your mind made the exact same decision that Jesus's mind may have made. You know, there is no way that, you know, with the ego mind looking forward at an experience of being arrested and put on trial and beaten and crucified, there's no way that's not anything that any human mind would ever want to go through. You know, that's not our idea of a wonderful dream. and also going through you know, radiation and chemotherapy, it's really the same if you look at it. It's the same apparent dark journey. But for Jesus, it ended up being a journey of light, because he let go of that mind that called it a dark journey, and he moved into acceptance, and it was nothing but a journey of light. And what I heard was that your mind made the same decision. And so I just want to honor you as you take these steps, literally following in Jesus' footsteps. And obviously my prayer for you would be that the same realization of our truth come upon you that I'm certain, you know, is certain came upon him when he made that decision. Just full realization of truth, and nothing less than full realization of truth. And the form itself does not matter. the second thing that came up for me when you were telling the story of Joseph, you know, how when his brothers, you know, threw him into the pit, and, you know, no way could they have foreseen what was coming. No way could they have foreseen that there was going to be a great famine in many years, and now their brother Joseph was going to be in a position not only to save them, but literally all of Israel from being destroyed by famine. You know, when the guidance came upon me at the end of December of last year to begin this organization, I didn't know anything except for the purpose and the core values. I did not foresee in any way that ACIM Gather was going to become a part of it. Also, when I was guided to move to Pueblo, when I had that dream that told me to move to Pueblo, there was no way I could have foreseen all of this and Lynn's involvement in it. In fact, Dove, even the day that you and I met, which happens to be the same day that I received the calling to write with Holy Spirit, that meeting, as you know, was a miracle. You know, there's no way that we could foresee that you and Lynn and I would come together in a relationship along with many other people and build an organization called Awakening Together that is really going to extend the tradition of ACIM Gather and extend the tradition of all of us learning from our inner guidance, of all of us speaking our inner guidance and sharing our inner guidance in order to increase it, in order to increase trust. You know, a few times, of course, people have asked me, because people are suspicious of the word church, people are suspicious of organizations, and they've asked me, you know, why are you doing this? And my honest answer is, I don't know, you know, because, you know, just like Joseph's brothers did not know why they were throwing him in the pit. They may have thought they were throwing him in the pit because they hated him. The truth was they did not know why they were throwing him in the pit. And the only difference is I've always known. I didn't know why I was, you know, leading this step to start Awakening Together and organize it as a legal church. But the one thing that we can see already is that, you know, stuff is happening we would have never predicted. And if we had created plans based on what we thought we knew, our plans would just be mistaken. So all we can do is go with our guidance, follow our promptings, and we don't need to know why. Everything is falling together perfectly. You know, this group that we have here that meets in ACIM Gather and that is Awakening Together, which happens to be our name, I know is something that's helpful to all of us. And so one thing that appears to be happening is that a foundation, a legal foundation, an organizational foundation is being built so that it continues beyond individuals. So the Dove can come and go and it continues. Regina can come and go and it continues. Lynn comes and go and it continues. But I'm certain it's about so much more than that. And all we can do is go with it, and I'm sure we'll get some glimpses into how it was helpful. 20 years from now, we'll have glimpses that we don't have now. But my guess is the intellectual mind will never understand every way that it's been helpful to every individual that it's touched. So, yeah, those are the two things that came up for me as you spoke about your experience with cancer and as you told the story of Joseph. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much. Let me just get this thing. Thank you so much, Regina. That was really such a wonderful way of looking at exactly what it is that we're all going through, really, is that we don't really know what anything is for. And I don't care who the teacher is or what path, we always get down to the same thing. And Socrates said it a long time ago. He says, I'm the wisest man in the world because I know that I don't know. We don't really know what anything is for. Only the ego, which has a need to know and owes for its own benefit, and of course will always be foiled because nothing benefits anyone. We're all in this together. That basically we turn the need to know to everything is given to us on a need to know basis. That yes, that story of Joseph, never, even though I know the story very well, I heard it just yesterday in a Day of Atonement service, and I mean, the story which was told is like the perfect story to actually sum up A Course of Miracles literally in one parable, literally. I mean, just amazing. Because it's really all about perception. It's all about that, you know, the world that you see out there is nothing more than an outside picture of an inner condition. If I'm in fear and guilt, you know, I'm going to walk through this world in fear and guilt. But as I develop trust in truth, trust in the love of God, which is what I am and what everyone here is, that love does heal, but we have to actually be responsible for removing the toxins. Purification is necessary first. Right now, turning this mic over to you, when we now know for sure why you went to a place called Pueblo that you never even heard of, you didn't even know where it was, just so that Lynn can pick up the mic right here, right now, and she's going to be in charge of Awakening Together here on Pal Talk for as long as she wants.
Well, thank you, Dove, and I can't begin to tell you how surprised and I have to say a little bit dismayed and shocked I was that this transition was happening right now. But I know that all things are perfect. And so one real quick thing before I say what I came to say. After the service, we no longer have Marie and Neil with Porto House. We actually are having a social coffee. Like after church, you stay and you have coffee and you chat, and it's a bring your own beverage, so I'm not giving you coffee. but get your coffee, get your snack, and it'll be a virtual discussion, and we'll just have open mic, and people can chat and have social time with each other. That's housekeeping. But I did want to say that yes, absolutely. You know, we don't know what anything is for, and meeting in the fellowship hall. We don't know what anything is for, and if you would have told me, what was it, like 4 years ago when Regina came to Pueblo, that I would be here doing this, I would have been stunned. I would never have believed it, because I thought I had a life and a career and all sorts of things going on. And you know, the Holy Spirit knows what's going on. The Holy Spirit has everything under control. And so just... you know, being here, being with you, Dove, these years, you have been my perfect teacher. And you have prompted me to look at things I would never have seen before. You have shown me things and given me great insights that I would never have imagined without your help. You are the voice for the Holy Spirit in my mind. And when I hear the Holy Spirit in my mind, it sounds like Dove Fishman. And I'm so grateful for that. So that's really all I had to say, and I'm going to turn the mic over to you, Melinda.
Hi. I just have something very simple. I feel to just sit with you, Dove. I've been doing that. I've been just sitting with you. And I feel that very strongly, to just sit in the presence of all of you. And that is a blessing for me. And I am just sitting with you all. I am sitting with you, Dove. Thank you.
Okay, I'm assuming that I'm just supposed to take the mic. okay, Dove. I'm a big crybaby. I've been crying for the last 5 or 10 minutes, and my tears have nothing to do with any belief in death or loss or anything like that. My tears this morning are just out of gratitude and my love for you. I've been coming into this room for 7 years, and you, I think more than anyone, has taught me so much about trust. You know, I was petrified when I first came into this room to take the mic and to share anything. And you have no idea how you healed me. Dove used to say, "Julie, if you're listening to the voice of fear, you're listening to the wrong voice." And that was like a light that went on in my head back then. I love you so much, Dove. I think you know that. But I just want to say it again. And I have so much gratitude for you. I just finished this Pathways course called Gratitude for God's Gifts. And in my mind, you, my brother, are definitely a gift of God, one of God's gifts to me, an aspect of my mind that has been given to me to enable me to heal. And so I love you. I just wanted to say that. And as for your talk today, beautiful, beautiful stuff. And I had the thought as you were talking about, you know, believing that you're safe. I had the thought, well, lately I've been thinking a lot about the very final chapter of A Course in Miracles, the text, Choose Once Again. It's been on my mind lately, and I think probably I'll do the service on it next week, because really that is, as you were talking about, the purification of the mind. Because Jesus is asking us really for one thing. He's asking us to get one thing out of A Course in Miracles, to choose who we believe we are. We have a choice. Every day and every moment we have a choice. We can either continue to believe in the false self, the false imagined self, or we can we can choose to come to know the truth of ourselves again. That's what the whole Course in Miracles is about. That's what Advaita Vedanta is about. Choose once again who you think you are. And purification is the mind of the mind is when you're constantly choosing to believe in the truth of who you are and you're saying no to the lies of the ego. In Vedanta, they call it neti neti. I am not this. I am not that. I am not anything of this world. I am not the body. I'm not this. I'm not that. I am this. I am the Holy Son of God. And you choose that and you choose it constantly. And that's purifying the mind. That's constant forgiveness. That is our only real job in this life. And as you were talking about choosing to believe in your safety, I had the thought that choosing to believe that you're safe is the same thing as choosing to believe in the truth of who you are. Because in truth, you are eternal and you are always safe. Finally, I was reading last night Robert Adams' Silence of the Heart, which I will be teaching again from today. And he gave four things that you have to do to basically purify the mind and to come to self-realization. And one of them was that you have to get it through your mind that you were never born and you will never die. And again, that is choosing to believe in your eternal truth. And that is all that is ever asked for us, is to make that choice, to choose again in every single moment, who are you? Who are you? Who are you? And Dove, I know that you do that in every moment in your life as you walk this path. I know that you are constantly healing the mind by choosing again who you think you are. And for that, I am extremely grateful to you, my brother. I love you so much, Dove. Thank you.
Dove, this is just wanted to say briefly, very briefly. I'm sure, surely not going to give you any sort of lessons up here as to how to feel, how to think. But I will say that just from experience with, from my experience over the years with sort of a diagnosis, I learned that there were times when I began to forget what I thought I knew, and it was your voice that kicked in, and two lessons came up for me from you, and that was trust and cause. Those two words kicked in, trust and cause. And I don't think I can speak for everyone, but maybe I can surely say that I think that I'm quite convinced, and I don't know, anyone here probably is not convinced, that you will be, even when you don't think you are, cause over this situation. You will be cause over everything that's going on, even when you feel at least like as you are, just like the brothers in that situation didn't realize that they were acting in cause over that situation, to further their Joseph's move towards his leadership over Egypt. You will always be moving in the correct direction. And I wouldn't doubt that for a moment. And if you do doubt that, hear my voice and the voice of everyone in this room tell you that you are at cause, and you have no reason not to trust that. You are at cause. You are, and that's just that. There's nothing debatable that you are not at the effect of this. We're not a victim, obviously. And if there's ever a moment where you doubt that, remember this meeting. That's all. God bless you.
I just wanted to do a mic check. Can everybody hear me? Dove, I just want to say I love you very much. And I just think about how the journey of me coming here took place, first by filling in for Linda McNabb to host a woman named Regina Dawn Akers at a workshop here in Chicago at a place called the Peace Center, and then traveling to India with her, and then being brought into the ACM Gather community, where I started teaching again. I spent 16 years teaching in the School of Metaphysics, and then sort of took a few years off, and then now continuously experiencing the wonderful effects of teaching here in Gather. And I'm grateful that you have held the torch and the light and the energy to make this place exist. And I feel very close to you personally, and very grateful for you spiritually. And I enjoyed all the times I've spent with you here in Gather, and also in person. I think the highlight of which was that dinner that we had downtown Chicago with yourself and John Mundy and Dennis Geithner and everyone that was present there. And I love that photo that we took of all of us, and the sort of childlike happiness and sort of giggly fun that you like to have right in with the most profound spiritual moments, and that's I love all that about you, and it's inspiring to me to see your childlike innocence and profound wisdom all wrapped up in one. And I know that lives within me and lives within all of us, and I'm just grateful. I'm just grateful. Thinking of you brings me to thinking of the Holy Spirit, and I don't feel bad. I don't feel sad in any way. I don't feel regretful. Actually, just feel happy, and I just love you, and I know that whatever is supposed to happen will happen, and just want to let you know I'm with you all the way. I love you, brother.
All right, thank you so much, Jay. I must say, when you were sharing, I wrote, I'm not leaving. Where would I go? Of course, I got that where would I go from Ramana Maharshi. I see everything as the same. Nothing has changed. The name has changed, yeah. Awakening together. Yes, Lynn is definitely in charge. And I know that Holy Spirit is actually arranging this in a very divine way. I know that. So there's nothing happening here that's not part of God's plan for salvation. I want to say, I'm going to spend a little time with Suzanne here, having a little breakfast. I usually have breakfast after being here as minister. Right now, I'm going to turn this mic over to you, Ron. And I'm really happy that, I guess I'm going to say to Marie, that was a gift from you and Neil to open this up as a virtual snack hour where everybody get together and brunch together. Thank you so much for that. I think that's the perfect thing, perfect idea, truly. It really is. And thanks, Lynn. I guess maybe inspired it. I'm not sure. Whatever it is really perfect. Okay, thank you all. And I just want you to know how loved I feel. If you don't hear me say it, I feel so loved. And that thing in the beginning of my inside cover of my original teacher's manual, God loves you so as he loves himself, is just the truth for all of us. Thank you all so much. Over to you, Ron.
Dove, I want to thank you for what you've created here. And I'm laughing here. As usual, I'll have a song. And this song is for you and what you've created here.
Okay, Carla, can you hear now? Because there was no sound there for a minute. So I see Marie has her hand up, and I will turn the mic over to you, Marie.
Thanks, Lynn. Oh, good, Carla's all set now. What's coming is about Spirit's guidance, and one of the most difficult thing for me to accept over time, which is far better now in Spirit's guidance, is when there is a no. You know, so much of the journey I was always looking for the yes, and didn't have the awareness that Spirit's guidance is also the no. You know, so I'll just share what happened last week. When we finished our teaching last week, I had some resistance, but I didn't know what it was. And I started to talk with Neil about it. And I don't even know what I said or what he said, but I do recall that I said, wait a minute. He says, are we still going out? I said, yeah, we're going out. He said, so I said, let me just step back and listen. And when we got in the car, I said, you know what I'm hearing? We're supposed to move. It sounds like we're supposed to move our teaching, that our time on Sunday mornings is done. I said, how do you feel about that? He said, either way, it's fine with him. And then he asked where to. And I said, well, I'll just keep listening. And then that was provided. And then as the day went on, then I heard, well, oh, there's the time for the coffee hour. You know, the first 2 weeks of Awakening Together, as I cooked during the week, I kept feeling like I was cooking for a celebration to follow for the fellowship that is to follow AT. And actually, I have recalled that that's what came when we picked up the mic those first 2 weeks. It is like, this is fellowship time. And, you know, so I made the arrangements first on the gather board and then with Lynn, and Lynn said, you know, I'll put somebody else in that slot. And it was like, no, no, talk to Regina. Talk to Regina, no, I don't think that's what's supposed to be there. It seems like it's supposed to be for time following Awakening Together. So it really is fellowship time. It really is beautiful, and it's all perfect. And, you know, a lot of times Regina had mentioned it, we don't know what guidance is for or what the purpose is, and yet when it is followed, you know, A Course in Miracles talks about vision and revelation all the time, like things are revealed to us and things are shown to us. And at first I really thought that the nudge to complete and move was because we're often saying no on Sunday mornings to people say, why don't you come to this, or why don't you come to that, or why don't you try this, or, you know, and I thought that perhaps that's part of it, you know, and quickly there was this other piece that was shown, you know, and everything is always, because creation is forever expressing an extension and extending, you know, vision and revelation is always being given and shown. It's ever broadening and widening, it seems. So it's really all perfect. And I have to tell Ron something. Ron, you and I have been sharing ginger cookies between us for years. And now in this fellowship time, we got to share the ginger cookies, the ginger snaps with all. I love you, brother. And I do love you all, and I share the same sentiments that everyone's been sharing. You know, oh, I do have one other thing to share, and that is when Doug was sharing about the 11 brothers, I kept seeing the story of Daniel, you know, which when I was a teenager in a depression, I was watching Tammy Faye Baker on TV, and I really was watching her eyelashes. I couldn't believe how many. I was in judgment. How could someone wear such long eyelashes like that? And I never had heard before evangelical type teachers, you know, or communicators. But I listened. She told this story, which essence was about Run to the Roar, and how she was afraid of going on airplanes and flying. And then she made a reference to a Bible passage, Run to the Roar, that she just had to, like, face it. And Regina talked about, like, Jesus facing himself in the garden and his experience. And just, like that's what I call the recognition. It's like you got to sit there if you want to be done with it and look at it, you know, and not resist it and allow it to be undone. And just 6 months ago, I saw a program on TV that had that story about Daniel. And, you know, I just fell in love with it. It was a whole lot of Old Testament history that I did not know that was included in it. But there was that moment when Daniel was thrown, you know, he was close to, I don't know, it was a king or a pharaoh or whatever, you know, like a prophet by his side for a very long time, and then he gets thrown in with the lions, and it was like Jesus being in the garden, you know, and he was not eaten by the lions, you know, but it's that surrender, it's that non-resistance, and my own experience with cancer was just that. It was a totally guided experience. It was, to that point in time, the most spiritual experience I had in my life, because I had simply the prompt. So I actually read something in a book that said, "Why, you know, to ask yourself, why are you afraid to die?" And that is what I did, and I realized I wasn't afraid to die. I wasn't done living. I wasn't done with this experience, and it went on to become like, I only see it as such a beautiful time, and all the experiences I had in that time and all that was brought in that time. And so that for me is an experience of how it is always to be, really, to let go and to let God, and all is given. So thanks for letting me share. I love you all so much. Here's the mic.